Our lesson tonight is out of Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 16, God's promising sign of Messiah's miraculous birth amid his people's short-term crisis. Not only leaders like Judah's King Ahaz, but God's people, like Ahaz's subjects in Judah, at times face humanly formidable threats to their welfare from opposing parties. God throughout Scripture calls his people to trust him to deliver them from what makes them afraid. And nowhere is this call more filled with hope than in Isaiah 7, 10 through 16. Of course, we study the passage for our edifying insight. I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at it. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. Moreover, the Lord spoke again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord or put the Lord to the test. And Isaiah said, Hear you now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you also weary my God? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the good and the evil and choose the good. But before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both of her kings. Okay, tremendous passage. We learn in our study out of Isaiah chapter 7, 1 and 9 last time that God had promised to deliver Judah's King Ahaz from the threat of the Aram-Israel alliance that had planned to invade Judah and to replace him with their own puppet king. Well, to make this promise even more comforting to Ahaz, the prophet Isaiah was directed of God to have Ahaz ask for an attesting sign from the Lord, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights, meaning God offered to do any miracle that Ahaz suggested to bolster his faith. Well, Ahaz refused to ask for a sign, piously claiming that he would not put the Lord to the test. See, it was against the law to put the Lord to the test. But in this situation, he wasn't putting the Lord to the test by asking for a sign because God's prophet had commanded him to ask for a sign. So that's not putting the Lord to a test at all. Well, King Ahaz, however, piously claimed he wouldn't put the Lord to the test, and when in reality he was cloaking his unbelief in Isaiah's word and thus in God's offer of a sign. Apparently, he wasn't believing that the Lord would provide him a sign, so he just piously tried to get away from this by saying, well, I don't want to put the Lord to the test. It was an excuse. Well, King Ahaz accordingly rejected God's messenger Isaiah and the Lord who sent him. But God, in grace, first chided Ahaz for testing not only Isaiah's patience, but for testing God's patience in rejecting his offer for a sign. And then the Lord graciously offered to give a sign of his own choosing. This is very interesting, this sign that he has. That sign would be that a virgin would be with child and bear a son, calling him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, Im means with, Manu, with us, is Elohim, or with us is the Creator God, or God with us. Now, some take this verse to predict not only Christ's virgin birth that occurred 700 years later, as Matthew 1, 18 to 23 claims, but also the birth of another child by natural means in Ahaz's day, which birth would make the sign meaningful to King Ahaz. See, the argument is from some scholars is that why would God give a sign that isn't going to be fulfilled for 700 years? Because by then, King Ahaz would be long deceased. Well, a close study reveals that there was not such a double prediction as follows. They're talking about only one woman bearing one child. By the word that is translated virgin in the New International Version, had Isaiah meant any woman indiscriminately, married or unmarried, he could have used the word na'ara. Had Isaiah meant either a virgin or a betrothed virgin or a married woman, he could have used the word Bethulah. And had he meant a child, he would have used Yalda, but a child would have been inappropriate for Isaiah 7:14 because this is a woman who's having a baby. Well, instead of using any of these other words for virgin, Isaiah used Alma. And Alma is the only Hebrew word that means an unmarried woman of marriageable age. Interesting. Now, an unmarried woman of marriageable age. In this context, Isaiah could not mean that she would be with child by way of immorality, for that would not make her being with child a reasonable sign from a holy God, as Isaiah 7:14 holds it was. In other words, God would not make a sign involving a young woman getting pregnant out of wedlock. That's not for God to do. So this is a woman who is being with child, getting pregnant, in total righteousness, because this is a sign from God. She's a sign from God, and the baby's a sign from God. So Isaiah foretold that an unmarried woman would be with child while being morally upright, namely that she would be with child miraculously. And guess what? Only Mary, the mother of Jesus, can fit this description in all of Scripture. So this passage is specifically predicting Mary, the mother of Jesus, would be with child miraculously, and that child would be Emmanuel, which is Jesus Christ. So Matthew is absolutely spot on when he says that this was fulfilled with the conception that Mary had of the Lord Jesus Christ and then the birth of Jesus. Now, speaking of this child, the Messiah, Jesus, Isaiah predicted, number one, he would be born of a virgin. He would be raised in a time of national hardship. Curds and honey are plentiful when cows and goats have no young to nurse because many animals are dying. So this is a time of national hardship. And three, while the child was still young, the land of the Aram-Israel alliance would be laid waste. Now in history, 3 years later, this is 3 years after this prophecy, Assyria had destroyed Damascus of Syria, laying waste its land, and the land of the Aram-Israel alliance, seen as a unit that Ahaz had so feared, and Christ was born 7 centuries later. Now, one may wonder how Christ's birth 7 centuries later is a meaningful sign for Ahaz. But Isaiah views Jesus' conception, birth, and early childhood as itself consisting of a timeline, for the timeline of the fall of Ahaz's foes. See, Isaiah himself really didn't know the time when Jesus would be born. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible tells us there that the Old Testament prophets earnestly looked into the timeline because God was not filling them in on the time. All he knew is that this young woman would produce this child. And it could have been immediately. It could have been 100 years from now. It could have been. He didn't know. So the point is, between the time this woman conceived this child, bore this child, and this child would have been old enough to have distinguished between good and evil, by that period of time, the land that Ahaz so feared, the Aram-Israeli alliance, would be bereft of both of her kings. Well, that's about a 3-year period. If you look at the conception, then the birth of a child, and then the child being old enough to begin to know right from wrong, he'd be about 2.5 years of age, I think, at that point after birth. That's when a child begins to have a good sense of right and wrong. He's already being punished for that which is wrong or whatnot. Well, but by that period of time, that's exactly how long it took for the Aram-Israeli union of Ahaz's era. So this sign of Messiah's supernatural conception and birth sets the stage for all of Judah's later kings and people to take heart in the hope of Messiah's coming deliverance from all of her later dreadful foes. Isaiah was predicting a timeline in this, but this was a marvelous sign, and you talk about the heaven above. This was the sign of the Messiah himself, the virgin birth of the Messiah. And of course, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, that's the centerpiece of all human history in God's mind, and that's why he chooses that sign. It's a very, very important one. So whether it be Ahaz in his era or any subsequent era, including our era today, long after the life of Christ, God has timelessly wanted his people to rely on him to guard them from dreadful foes, especially as noted in the great deliverance wrought by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, this will be fulfilled in the second coming of Christ when he delivers believers on the earth at the time from the Antichrist, and he would be their most dreadful foe. But there are foes that believers face throughout the centuries, and even today we might be facing a foe of some sort. Well, we're supposed to look to the Lord and to the Lord Jesus Christ. So may we trust in God as our deliverer from foes that we greatly dread, whether it be in Ahaz's era or after his era. May we who look forward to Christ's return put our ultimate hope in his deliverance and live for him without fear in the hope of his return. No matter where we turn in Scripture, we find that God the Father delights in people trusting in him. He doesn't want us to doubt him. He doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to trust him. And sometimes I believe he allows the trial that we face to go on and on and on because he enjoys faith so much. It gives us an extra amount of time to exercise faith. That's why he stalls on fulfilling the need. But it's amazing how many times he comes through just in the nick of time, just like these missionaries we were talking about who have received these gifts. One missionary was wondering how in the world he was going to pay for his property taxes. And that's a threat, okay? They just didn't have the money. And all of a sudden, this gift from a party or parties in our church showed up, put them over the top. The other missionaries, they had car repairs. They had depleted their money in order just to take care of that car. They didn't know what they were going to do. All of a sudden, check shows up from New Paul Church, and it reimburses them. It builds faith, but it comes just in the nick of time, just when they need it. So we need to trust the Lord. Many times God will come through and he will meet our needs and help us out just in the nick of time. But he delights in that because he delights in faith. So he wants us to trust him. It's amazing. Tonight I was noticing before we went to prayer, before we actually opened up for prayer requests from you, we had 7 requests. I think that's a high of ongoing requests that we have. And these are great needs, a lot of them health needs, situations there. In fact, I think all but one of them were health needs. One had to do with a family in regards to the death of a parent and how they need comfort and wisdom over that. But all the others had to do with crises that people face with health. Well, I believe God wants us to trust him. And as we trust him, he will provide for our needs.